In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. This week we draw to a close the ecclesiastical year. And just with the ending of everything, we are brought to the realization of our mortality, of the fact that we too must come to an end. Our lives will each one day end. And to many people this sounds frightening. It strikes terror in their hearts that I must one day die. And this portrays a very shallow faith, a lack of trust in God, a lack of love for God. When we read the lives of the saints, we see that they were enraptured. They were aflame. Their hearts were aglow with love for God. Their whole lives here on earth were spent in this eager anticipation for that day when I get to see God face to face. If you'll consider the little children in their preparation now with all the commercials, how eagerly they are anticipating December the 24th. They wait all year for this great day, this great feast. Many of them don't even realize the whole context behind it, but they know it is something special. And little children, eyes light up, their face shine when you mention Christmas. They think of all the presents, of the lights and the celebration, the food and all the good time. Our relatives come together and everyone is happy. It is a great time. And they look forward to such occasions. This should be the attitude of every Christian towards the day of our death. That day when we get to see Christ face to face, the one whom we've loved, the one whom we long to see. When that day arrives, it will be a great day. It will be a most splendid time. It will be a happy time. When we get to enter into heaven and be with all of our family, all the saints in heaven, we will have treasures beyond our wildest imagination. Then why do we fear death? Why do we cling to this life with such tenacity, even though we see that this life is not complete happiness? This life has its crosses, its sorrows, its ups and its downs, its miseries. Yet we don't want to leave it. We know what we have here right now, even though it may not be perfect. At least we know what it is. When we die, we're not certain of what our fate is going to be. If I could guarantee you that you would each see God in heaven, there should be no fear, nothing to worry about. But the fact is, none of us knows whether we will be found pleasing or displeasing on that day of judgment. And we are told that without a divine revelation, we're going to be left in that ignorance while we are here on earth. And that is what causes us to fear, the uncertainty, the not knowing. But this uncertainty can be gradually set aside if we begin to practice virtue. As we grow in this life, in this world, we should be increasing in virtue from day to day, drawing closer and closer to God. And the closer we draw to God, the more that we love Him, the less fearful we should become of death. the less fearful we should become of the things of this world. When we look at the lives of the saints, those who had great faith, we see that they had very little fear. I love to contemplate the life of Saint Francis. And when somebody is complaining to me, what are you going to do? You know, we can't pay this bill, we can't meet this need. What's going to happen? I don't know, that's up to God. But in the worst case scenario, what's going to happen to me? That I'm kicked out of my house, that I'm left without a place, without a roof over my head? And I end up sleeping under a bridge in a cardboard box somewhere? When I stop to think about it, it doesn't sound so bad anymore. If Saint Francis could do it, many saints before me have done it. Our Lord Himself has done it. What a pleasure it would be to be able to compare myself to Christ born in a stable. To be able to say with Christ, the foxes have their den. The birds of the air have their nest. But the Son of Man and I have no place to rest our heads. It sounds quite romantic. And this is what so many fear. To be reduced to that utter state of poverty, where we are completely dependent upon the mercy of God, where we will recognize that anyone who does us the slightest kindness is sent to us by God. They are a treasure from God. What a blessing that would be. And yet we fear this blessing. And as I say, that would be the worst case scenario. What are the chances of that happening? As I've said to so many people, the bank doesn't want your property. They can't sell it any more than you can. They want your money. And they're going to bend over backwards before they'll take that property away from you. They don't want it. They're only interested in their interest, their profit margin. And you look at so many people who abuse the system. Have you ever tried to evict someone? You can't just say, this is my property, get out. They have rights. And it takes quite a while. So the worst case scenario is very unlikely to happen, at least immediately. It will be drug out over a long period of time so you have a chance to adapt, to compensate, to work out something else. What have we to fear? And if they kill me and send me to heaven, should I call them my enemy? Should I hate them? Should I detest them? On the contrary, they would prove to be my best benefactor. They would have my best interest at heart. They are doing me a kindness, a favor, even though their intention may be evil. And thus we can see how our Lord was able not only to forgive these people as they murdered him, but to pray to his heavenly Father to forgive them. We can understand Saint Stephen as he's there being stoned to death, praying to his heavenly Father, Lord, lay not this charge up against them. because they were doing him a great favor. They were opening his eyes up to heaven, where he beheld God the Father with Jesus Christ standing there at his right hand. And he was so overcome with such joy that he could not hate those people who were murdering him. But he could beg God to pardon them. And so I ask you once again, what is it that we have to fear? What are we afraid of? We're afraid because we're still in the state of sin. Our conscience makes us into cowards. And rather than hide from our conscience or try to silence it, rather than try to forget and not think about death, or to think about these crosses and these evil things, would it not be wiser for us to make a friend of our conscience, to put our lives in order so that our conscience will not make us fear and tremble? Would it not be wiser to straighten out all our affairs in this world so that they are all in order and they are all pleasing to God, at least to the best of our abilities, and not have to worry, not have to fear and tremble, not to have this anxiety dwelling within our hearts constantly eating away at us, making us not only spiritually sick, but even physically sick? There are so many people that worry themselves sick for no reason at all. They have their nervous breakdowns, their panic attacks, their worries, all because they cannot rest in peace with who they are, the way they're living. And they go to a doctor to get a pill, to get a drug, to help them forget. If they don't go to the doctor, then they go to a bar. Find something to numb their conscience, something to slow down their thoughts, something to cause them not to reflect upon the miserable state, their miserable condition any longer. And what happens? They can forget for a moment. But when the memories come back, when the thoughts return, they are more miserable than before. For now they've heaped another misery upon the first one. And rather than put their lives in order, they keep trying to escape. As I've said to so many people, you can run away from your cross. You can complain to God that the cross he's given you is too heavy. It's too hard. And you can turn away from it. But I can guarantee you without a doubt that once you turn away from the cross that God has given you, you're going to turn and run smack dab into a bigger one. A heavier one, one that is more difficult than you can even imagine. And you think you can escape that one? And you're going to turn back and find a different one that's heavier than that one, and you just keep increasing the weight. You just keep making it more difficult by trying to escape it, by trying to run away from it. It is like someone having a disease within them. And every doctor will tell you, if we can identify this disease early on, we have a better chance of fighting it. We have a better chance of overcoming it. But if you ignore the symptoms, if you refuse the treatment, if you deny the fact that you have this illness, this problem, it is only going to get worse. And the longer you ignore it, the worse it becomes. And eventually it will kill you. And everybody says, oh yes, now we have to go to the doctor and we have to be tested for this and tested for that. And they've made us all psychotic. We're all worried about getting this disease or that disease. But when it comes to our immortal soul, and I tell you that you must nip the disease in the bud. You can overcome your faults, your failings, your transgressions when they are small, when they're just beginning. But if you ignore them, they're only going to get worse. You start with this little sin, and then you add one to it, and combined they become a little bit bigger. And the next one becomes twice as big as the one before. And before you know it, you are sunk in the depths of hell. And you say, how did this happen? It's because you tried to close your eyes to the fact that you were living in sin. You tried to deaden your conscience rather than to face your difficulties. You have acted like so many cowardly drunks. I can drink until I forget my problems and then I'll be happy. In the spiritual life, we ignore the words of Christ. We ignore the voice of our conscience. We try to silence them. We try to deafen ourselves to their voice by listening to all the cares of the world, filling our ears with all the entertainment, our mind with all their songs and information, anything but what is important for us to know, for us to reflect upon. We want to silence our conscience. We want to create such a din of noise that we can no longer hear it speaking to us. Because we don't like what it has to say. And we are cowards. We are fools. Because our conscience is not our enemy. Our conscience is our best friend. What he says to us hurts. What our conscience speaks to us is most painful. It cuts to the very depth of our soul. And so, like spoiled little children, we fear the knife, we fear the surgery, we fear the medicine. As St. Paul, Christ, all the saints have said to us over and over again, grow up! Stop running away. That conscience is the voice of God. He is the divine physician. He knows exactly what is in our best interest. He has given us our conscience to speak to us, because that is what we need to hear. And we should be eager to hear it. Because only in listening to this conscience, to this voice of God, are we going to know what terrible situation we are in so that we can do something about it. Christ has given us a cross. There's no one in this world that doesn't have a cross. Every one of us has been given us a cross, but that cross is for our salvation. And Christ has called each one of us, take up your cross daily. Come, follow me. Pick up that cross like a man, bravely, and carry it. Face your responsibilities. Face your obligations. And don't worry about anything else. Nothing else really matters. The only thing that is important is that we follow Christ. And as I keep saying over and over again, you can't run away from a cross. You turn away from this one, there's always another one. You reject the first treatments of the doctor in the early stages of a disease. And you know what the next treatment's going to be? It's going to be even more severe than the earlier treatment would have been. And if you reject this more severe treatment that the doctor offers you for your health, the next treatment is going to be even more severe. If you stop and think about a person who has a little gangrene in their toe, and they go to see the doctor, you know what the doctor is going to say? Let's try some antibiotics. Let's try fighting it. But if it gets too far, we're going to have to amputate the toe. And so what does the patient say? Oh my, I'm afraid. I don't want to do that. But I don't like antibiotics, so I'm not going to take them. And when the doctor says, it's too late, now we must amputate. No, no, I don't want to lose my toe. Just keep it there. I'm not going to do anything. Just let it go. And the disease spreads through the foot, and the doctor says, now we have to cut off your foot. And you say, no, 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 I don't want to lose my foot. And you put it off, and the disease spreads up your leg. And the doctor says, we're going to have to amputate your leg. You say, no, 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 I don't want to do that. And the disease spreads on through your body until it kills you. That is what happens in the spiritual lives of most people. They fall into sin and their conscience says, you're going to have to do something about this. The voice of God says it's time to change. And you say, no, 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 not now. I don't want to deal with that. That's unpleasant thinking. I want to think happy thoughts. I want to forget about my sins. I want to eat, drink, and be merry. And a little while later, the voice of God through your conscience, through a sermon, through a book, through a friend, a relative, a neighbor, says, look, you need to get this straightened out. This is wrong. This is evil. You should not live like this. You should not do these things. And you say, no, 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 I'm not going to listen to that. That's unpleasant thinking. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to give up this life that I've been living. I don't want to give up these sins that I've been enjoying, even though they make me miserable, even though they're killing my soul. And their entire life, this disease of sin, takes over their entire soul until it kills them. And they end up not physically dead, but spiritually dead. Their souls are already in the depths of hell, even though they may still be walking on this earth. And then they will breathe forth their last and enter into an eternal misery in the fires of hell. And they will be shocked. How could I have done this? How could I have been so foolish? If I had just listened to what the doctors of my soul were saying to me, if I would have only taken the medicine that God has dished out for me, that He set before me to heal my soul, I could have avoided this whole thing. It would have been so simple, but I would not. This last week of the year, the ecclesiastical year, I would like us all to contemplate our end, to contemplate the crosses that we have been given, to ask God, the Holy Ghost, to come and enlighten our mind, examine our conscience, give us the grace not only to hear the voice of our conscience within our soul, but the grace to act upon it, to stop ignoring our conscience, but to follow its directives and stop being afraid, because there is nothing to fear. God does not intend to hurt us. His intention is not to destroy us. He loves us. He gives us these crosses to save us. He gives us this medicine to heal our souls. And we should begin to set aside all fear of eternity, all fear of God. And we should replace it with complete trust, complete love of Him, so that we can say with Job, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whatever you want to do with me, Lord, here I am, I'm yours. You know what to do with me better than I do. And I trust you. I love you because you have loved me. And if you were willing to come and die on the cross for me, surely this little cross that you've given me cannot be too much. I can do it with your help." This is what we should end the year with as we contemplate the end of the world, the end of society. We must contemplate our own end. And far from being something negative and depressing, it should fill us with hope. The crosses, the punishments are all medicines to heal us. We should eagerly drink them down. We should be anxious for the next medicine that's going to make us even better. And as we end this year, it is with somber thoughts, but they are not depressing thoughts. They should not fill us with fear, but with a desire to improve, a desire to do better, a desire to love God more than we have in the past. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen.